Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our sermons over these days, we're working our way through Philippians 2, and today verses 5 to 8, but particularly verse 7 and verse 8 of this very poetic and beautiful description of who Jesus is that we know as the Christ hymn. Just repeat these verses for you. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather today in your presence and to hear this account of the Passion and to reflect on all that Jesus our Lord has done for us. We pray now as we meditate further on that word that it would continue to sink deep into our hearts and minds and strengthen our faith in him. In his name we pray. Amen. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the low point of the Christ hymn in many ways, as well as its turning point, this moment where Jesus hits rock bottom. If you imagine the incarnation as a great big letter V, which I, for some reason, find it very helpful to do, the death of Jesus is the bottommost tip. It's also the heart and center of our spiritual reality as Christian people, this fact that God died, and that God died for us. But I want to take a step back for a moment to consider two other important things first, two unpopular character traits that Jesus exhibited that led to that moment of his death. First, that he humbled himself, as Paul says. Second, that he became obedient. And then finally, that he died on a cross. Remember, as well as we go with our reflection, that Paul has already told the Philippians that they are to have the same mindset among themselves as Christ had. In other words, that everything he says here in Philippians 2 gives them an insight into both their salvation, but also their formation as Christian people. Okay, first he humbled himself. Jesus had the attitude, the characteristic of humility, or more literally, it's humble-mindedness, humble-headedness, humble thinking. Now, when we hear of humility, we tend to see it as something desirable, something, you know, that makes a person likable or personable in some way, but it wasn't seen that way in Jesus' time. Humility was the attitude of a servant. The attitude of a slave. You were humble because you had to be humble. You were humble because you had a lowly station in life and that was your lot, and humility went along with it. Servants were humble. Peasants were humble. The working classes were humble, but nobody who had really made it in life was expected to be humble. The rulers, the intellectuals, the scribes, the Pharisees, the kings, the queens, these people were not expected to be humble. In fact, nobody wanted them to be humble. It wasn't the expectation of someone in that place. In fact, humility was considered in this culture a sign of weakness. We can think of similar situations, perhaps in the business world or the political sphere, where, you know, those who are really going to get ahead are those who are very assertive, even aggressive, willing to step over others along the way. Or we can think of similar situations in the sporting world, where self-confidence, even charisma, is highly valued. The best example I can think of that is Muhammad Ali, telling the world that he was the greatest, that he could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, and perhaps my favorite, that he was so fast he could flick off the light switch and be in bed before the lights went out. You know, a real display of showmanship and sporting prowess, but perhaps not a great deal of humility. Jesus, on the other hand, had everything to boast about. He had everything going for him in one respect, and yet he became a servant. He made humility his way of life. C.S. Lewis says that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. In other words, it's not about being self-deprecating or self-loathing, but learning to be self-forgetful. Spending less time thinking about yourself at all and more time learning about and thinking about and considering and addressing the needs of others. This is the first unpopular characteristic that Jesus had. The second one, I would argue, is even more unpopular in our day and age, and that is obedience. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. When people talk about obedience these days, it tends to be in negative terms. You know, she who must be obeyed, or we wouldn't dare disobey him. It's in negative terms. And of course, when authority is cruel and oppressive and abused, then obedience is fraught with problems. But obedience here in Philippians 2 is a little bit different than that. It has to do with giving ear to someone. Literally, giving ear to someone, listening to someone and acting accordingly. It's a kind of obedience that can't be forced. It can only be offered. It can't be demanded. It has to be given willingly. It's not about a power struggle between two people. It's about listening and learning, and in this case, listening and learning from our Heavenly Father's will. It really is important for us to see Jesus' obedience as a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing. Not an act of weakness, not an act of cowardice, but an act of humility, an act of surrender for us. Gethsemane wasn't a power struggle, it was a prayer struggle. And we are the beneficiaries of Jesus' obedience to his Heavenly Father. On some level, I think we do realize that obedience is a good thing. When students give ear to their teachers, when they listen to them and do what's asked of them, then a classroom functions, it flourishes. When people obey the traffic laws, the roads are at least bearable, even functional. But when they don't, the consequences are obvious. Sometimes I wonder if us as Lutherans have an aversion to obedience because it makes us think of, works righteousness, being saved by the good things we do. But Philippians 2 is not saying that we're saved by the good things we do. In fact, it's saying the exact opposite of that, that we are saved by the good works of Christ, that we are saved by the obedience of Jesus. And because of that, when we give ear to him, when we follow him, then we too flourish according to God's will. Obedience is a beautiful thing when you have the right master. But before we see its full beauty, we see where it leads our Lord. That obedience can be a very hard thing as well. Let's consider his death on the cross. Being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. That little phrase stands out to me and always has more than any other part of the Christ hymn, more than any other part of Philippians 2, that tiny little phrase, even death on a cross. Why? Why is death on a cross so important for us as Christians? Death on a cross was incredibly humiliating. It was a public disgrace, is what it was. The Romans wouldn't even do it to other Romans. The Jews believed that anyone who was hung on a cross was cursed by God. To this day, it's one of the reasons why the Jewish people do not accept Jesus as the Messiah, because anyone who was hung on a cross was cursed by God. But that's the point. of the Christian gospel, that Jesus took our curse on himself. The curse that was there from Adam and Eve, and the curse that was there from Cain and Abel, and the time of the flood, the pride of Babel, the disgrace of Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin of Abraham and Sarah and David and Bathsheba, people who should have known better, the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the rejection of the crowds, right down to your sin and my sin, our lack of humility or obedience or anything else that stands between us and God. The message of the Christian gospel is that Jesus Christ has taken it all on himself, so that there is nothing left. You cannot hold on to your guilt. You cannot hold on to your shame anymore. Why? It is no longer yours to hold on to. He made himself nothing for you. He took the form of a servant for you. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross for you. Let it sink in. And when it does, then let it sink in even further. Let it change the way you see him, the way you see yourself, and the way you see other people. Let it be your salvation and your formation. All of this was for you, even death on a cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, allow the message of these days and the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross to sink deep into our hearts and minds, to remind us again that here we find our salvation, the forgiveness of all our sins, and the grace of God lived out. Remind us that this is our salvation, and also remind us that this is for our formation as your people. That humility and obedience and whatever other characteristics and fruit of the Holy Spirit you seek to work in us and on us, that you will do so as we put our faith in you. Lord, give us such a faith this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.